Lord, we just sung, we lay our all before you. And as we begin to look at that passage over this next 10 or 11 months, help us to see exactly what it is you want us to be, both as individuals and as a church for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I see Andrew reading a book, then I'll know he's bored stiff. Thanks for that. And I'm going to be talking for about 4 hours. If you're planning on going to the football, then sorry, Amy. No, I planned what I was going to say, I didn't realise we were going to be still all age today. So there might be a couple of things I'm going to do differently. But what's a habit? How many of you have got any habits? Stick your hands up if you have a habit. Is your habit eating this kind of thing? If Ruth was here, yes, thank you very much, Chris. You're the only honest one. I'll stick my, oh yes, and at the back as well, Laura, thank you. And how many of you squeeze this from the middle of the tube? Be honest. Toothpaste. Yes, quite a few. We get into all kinds of habits, don't we? But what, I wonder, is a habit? Well, I'm going to hopefully open up this whole subject to lead into biblical teaching this morning and throughout this month and throughout this whole term together. And that passage Julie's just read is what Holy Habits is based upon. In fact, we're trialling it for Ipswich, so I've told my clergy colleagues, so I'm hoping that they'll get some benefit from what we will learn together as a church to take it on themselves. I would really value your prayers, as would the deanery leadership team, for the inspiring Ipswich bid that we have to have done by the end of October. A lot of work still has to be done, but it's really exciting as we seek God's will for turning Ipswich around for Jesus. A habit. Well, a habit is a routine of behaviour that is repeated regularly and tends to occur subconsciously. I sometimes squeeze the toothpaste tube from the middle and then think I shouldn't have done that. We all get into habits, don't we? I sometimes eat a chocolate bar and thought I shouldn't have done that. And Ruth would say the same if she wasn't in America. There are good habits and there are bad habits. Bad habits, somebody said, are like comfortable beds. Easy to get into, but hard to get out of. You'll know what I mean if you think about that for a moment. Samuel Johnson once wisely said, "The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." Think about that for a sec. That's the kind of description I quite like for our new series, which we're not going to rush through. We're going to spend a month on each of these 10 habits. And I pray that these habits, as we think about them, that we're actually going to be doing them more than more subconsciously as we go through and learn more. That they're so strong that nothing will stop them from being broken. Or so automatic among us as a church family, we won't notice that we're doing them. And the resources, as I said, we've been using will be are there to support churches. Holy Habits. This is the book that goes with the course. There are also course booklets which home groups will have. This written by a Methodist, we'll let him off that, but that's fine. He's written it to with other people to encourage the Christian church. 10 habitual practices seen in the life of the early church, which he believes can be, or maybe should be seen in our lives today. And the 10 habits, if I can get this to work, are those. And as you can see, we're starting with biblical teaching. They are the 10 interrelated habits. And I think, hopefully, the Sunday school and maybe even the youth group will be following this with us. So we're doing it as a church. Just leave that up there for a moment. Bishop Martin has written, and I quote him, "Our mission statement as a diocese is flourishing congregations making a difference. The gospel," he says, "invites us to celebrate the good news of God's saving love." That's behind the diocesan vision for growing in God. God wants us to grow as his beloved children. He wants us to grow as loving communities. He wants us to grow in sharing his love beyond ourselves in both words and deeds, so we can determine what we do in seeking to grow in depth, attending to deepening our own faith and Christian practice, and engaging in actions that help us to grow in influence. So he doesn't know we're doing Holy Habits yet. I'm going to tell him on Thursday when I see him. But hopefully they will fit in to that vision. And also this inspiring Ipswich vision, which is daunting but so exciting too. And the four priorities that the diocese are working on are those. You've heard them before, growing in depth to deepen our desire to respond to the call of Jesus in every part of our life, to grow in influence, to reach out beyond ourselves by growing our presence, our engagement and service in the wider world. Yes, folks, to grow in number. I know a lot think they won't be able to get to the football if they don't come to church today, but believe me, you will, those of you who are here. But to grow in number, it's so important, isn't it? To grow the number of those who attend worship, yes, or Fresh Expressions of Church, yes, or belong to our electoral roll, yes, but to grow those in number who have trusted their lives, most importantly, to Jesus. And then growing younger, to grow congregations and or Fresh Expressions of Church that match the age profile of our local population. Our messy church does that, which is great, and they might not start coming to church on a Sunday. It might be that we baptize in messy church. Wouldn't that be exciting? Who knows what might happen in the future? It's not working now, Steve. Aha, Christian discipleship. Thank you to Lizzie, who helped put together the little booklet that Andrew mentioned. Do take it away with you. Have a read of it. Remind yourself what it is that we're looking at. The prayer we're going to use at the end in a moment is in your book. That's our prayer for the year. You'll get to know it by rote, hopefully, as we go through these habits together. Based on the scriptures, not something that I've dreamt up. You see, scholars believe that the Acts passage is instructive for those seeking to form healthy disciple-making communities. And I hope that's what we want to be. One of them, his name's C.K. Barrett. I studied him at college yonks ago. He said this, Luke, because Luke wrote Acts, Luke wishes his readers to see what the life for Christians was like in the apostolic period in order that they might imitate it. His story is not simply a series of biographies, but the story of a community. That's what drew me to this new series as I spotted it. Because God wants us as a community to be out there, yes, sharing his love, doing what he would want us to do in the communities we come from, we live in, but also growing together more as a community of faith. Holy habits is what we're focusing on. As we seek to grow in God, just fitting in with Bishop Martin's thinking, and all that that entails, I pray that we'll together discover that same enthusiastic spiritual renewal as those ancients of old, and live these ever new holy habits for our day. The following is the introduction to holy habits on the website, and I quote, "The call to Christian discipleship is a call to adventure. Holy Habits explores this adventure through a rich mix of biblical material and inspiring stories. The life-giving, transforming role of 10 habits seen in Acts 2 are reimagined for personal and community life today." You can Google it if you want to hear more and see a few introductory videos to see what we're going to be up to these next 10 months. But the Greek word for disciple, mathetes, means one who learns as they follow. Is that you? As you follow Jesus day by day, one who learns as they follow. You see, the primary activity of discipleship is following with learning happening as the adventure of following unfolds before us. A bit like following Ipswich, or even, dare I say, Watford. But there we go. Helping to shape and guide the unfolding journey that we are all on. Christian discipleship is, in fact, about even more than following the Lord Jesus, which I hope we all try to do. It is about being in, someone once said, and becoming like the one we follow. I love that. Like being in and becoming like the one we follow. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, a lovely translation of the scriptures, once said, "As Christ's followers, We are people in whom Christ dwells. We are a splendid, never-to-be-duplicated story of grace. Isn't that great? Does that remind you of you? I won't ask if it reminds me of me, because that would be a big no. But that's what God wants us to be. And in his book, Holy Habits, which I've waved already, he described disciples of Jesus as attractive in personality, inspiring, imbued with godly power and authority, and full of the joy of holy habits of graciousness and generosity. That's my prayer for me. I pray it's a prayer for ourselves. You see, our Jesus lived such a life. And I trust that it's what we long for, both for ourselves and our church here, as we seek to imitate Jesus. As his followers, both young and old, we are empowered by not only his example, but his life and his strength, doing what he did, because we are learning how to be with him in order to become like him. There we go. Attractive in personality. Have I read those words again? Let them sink in. Let that be our prayer for ourselves as we journey on together. Following Jesus, though, is not a matter of simple belief. It's a decision that will affect our worldview, our choices, our relationships, our entire life. Jesus welcomes everyone to follow him and insists that we seriously consider the cost of being his disciple. Paul prayed that the Colossian church would grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it is a tall order. Loving God above all else, counting the cost, knowing our identity, leaning on the scriptures more and more, serving with humility, being an ambassador of reconciliation, both within church and without, winning battles against sin and circumstances, setting goals and renewing our mind. Now, reading those, I feel overwhelmed, and we can feel overwhelmed by what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus. But underneath is simply a desire to follow Jesus, to follow the Master, to walk with our Lord, not doing it perfectly, because none of us can, but just steadfastly. Spiritual formation and discipleship may cause many, actually, to think about the high cost involved in a deeper life with God, a deeper life with Jesus. Gone will be a life of pleasure filled with laughter and life, watching films, eating good food, etc. How far from the truth can that be? Those who follow Jesus don't have to live sad and austere lives. In fact, the opposite is true. Christ's followers experience the highest form of pleasure and enjoy all the goodness that life has to offer, and are, just adding in here, more discriminate about how they seek entertainment and pleasure. That's the difference. Disciples trust in a good and beautiful God who's come not to rob us of joy, but to bring us to real and lasting joy, the kind found when moderation and boundaries are applied to our lives. Sadly, though, as many of us will know, the Christian life can be portrayed as a bit of a bummer, with the devil wanting us to fear the high cost of discipleship. Non-discipleship costs abiding peace, a life penetrated throughout by love, faith that sees everything in the light of God's overriding governance for good, hopefulness that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances, power to do what is right and to withstand the forces of evil. In short, it costs exactly that abundance of life that Jesus said he came to bring. That's why I put that on the screen, because that's what we'll get if we don't follow our Lord and Master. As disciples, we love, we serve, we forgive and care for others because God first loved, served, forgave and cared for us. God wants us to live with his life spilling out onto everyone that we meet. Every relationship and every action will be affected by our apprenticeship to Jesus. The character of Christ that is infused in us will be part of every encounter we have. Think about that tomorrow. Who will you meet? So apprentices of Jesus, which are disciples, which is you and me, are not part-time do-gooders. They live in continuous contact with the kingdom of God and are constantly men, women, young people and children in whom Jesus dwells. And so as we look outward, the question of for Jesus' apprentices becomes, how shall I, as a person Jesus dwells in and who lives in the kingdom of God, then live among them? Rowan Williams, bless him, in his brilliant little book, Being Disciples, and yes, folks, it is easy to understand, not like some of his other writings, so don't be put off by it. It's thin to start with, but it's a really good book. He says, discipleship is a state of being. It is about how we live, not just the decisions we make, not just the things we believe, but a state of being. We're constantly in the presence of the Master. In John 1, when some of them heard Jesus and was asking where he was staying, Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. So the bottom line of discipleship is about staying with and abiding with Jesus. A continual relationship. And not something we turn up to from time to time. In the ancient world, to be a disciple meant committing yourself to living in the same place, almost breathing the same air as your rabbi, as your master. And how does that apply to us today? Well, for us, that leads, I think, to an ongoing awareness, an expectancy of what the Master Jesus might say to us or might ask of us. Discipleship is not about choosing our company, but choosing the company of Jesus. And being in the company of Jesus Christ, through the scriptures, through prayer, and other things we're going to look at, also means for the Christian today, seeking constantly the company of others, of Jesus' servants. That's, folks, us here today. To think about it like that has to make us all stop and re-examine our walk of discipleship. Well, it does me. I'm going to put up in the screen in a moment some quotes from the Holy Habit book that I've waved in front of you, and I'm sure Penny can get you one from CLC if you would like one. I'm going to put up some quotes in just a moment describing discipleship, which is a kind of introduction to the habits. What I'd like you to do, and this is the bit of a change as it's we're all together here and the kids are doing their own thing over there, I'd like you to look at them and just turn to your neighbour and say which one of those strikes you as helping you understand what discipleship really means. What describes best for you this journey with Jesus? So here we go. Have a look at them. Turn to your neighbour, and as you've read them, and just say, that sums it up for me. We're not going to take a vote. Andrew's done the voting already. Have a chat to your neighbour and say, which one of those is for you what discipleship truly means? I like to think they're all true, actually, but which one helps you most to decide which one is best? So you've had a chance to look. Turn to your neighbour if you feel brave, and if it's a younger person, it might be good, and ask them which one of those is for you the best description of what being a disciple truly is. So I'm going to pull you back to order. Apologies if they're too small to read. I'm not going to read them out, but they're there for you just to think about. There are plenty more that he descriptions of being a disciple that he uses. But one quote, as I draw to a close, those of you who are looking at the time regarding Portman Road, Ipswich, we are looking, he says, to nurture adventurous followers of Jesus who, as they share in his mission and live out their discipleship in their day-to-day lives, are being transformed into his holy, down-to-earth likeness. People who live full, attractive, colourful, creative lives, all supported, this is where we're all involved in this, he says, all supported by transformational communities, full of life and grace, exemplars of the heavenly kingdom that is both an experience to be realised now and the final destination of the adventure. I trust that we'll continue to grow as transformational communities. I know we can't all be here every week, but we're here, as I've said, and I'm going to give out in another week to come, the one another's of the New Testament. We're in it together, folks. It's not just a Sunday morning. Be great if we were all in home groups. Do talk to Lizzie or me or Andy if you're not, and we can sort that one out as we journey through these habits together. Just one final thought as I put up. Yes, transformed his holy and down-to-earth likeness. That's, I think, for me, how I want to see being a disciple being. The Acts passage inspires a living out of discipleship for today, I think, that is four things. Centered on and inspired by the divine community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because God lives in community. Nurtured within the church community, in groups and one-to-one relationships. I know there are people who pray in threes. Let's develop that even more. Thirdly, lived out in the whole of life, in work, rest, and play. And then fourthly, missional, participating in God's mission. So as we journey on this exciting learning path together, I'm reminded of Luke's very deliberate way of writing. And especially in our passage, four words jumped out at me, and I'll leave you with them. And the four words are these: they devoted themselves to. You see, this course isn't a quick fix. And I hope that we're all going to approach it with that same kind of first century devotion, so that it may be a fruitful experience for everyone. They devoted themselves to. So as we live in Jesus and as we walk and work with him in mission today, let's devote ourselves to discovering more of these holy habits and grow as his church together. Biblical teaching, Andy's going to kick off with that. Next week, we've looked at the Acts passage today as regards biblical teaching. And finally, there should be a prayer there, Stephen. Can you click on it for me? Fantastic. If you can't read that, it's in your brochure that Lizzie's produced for you. If you can't read that, it's on your new sheet as well. This prayer, please do join me as we say these words together. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And so we pray. Gracious and ever-living God, we offer you our lives to you. Help us always to be open to your Spirit in our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Support us as we seek to learn more about those habits of the Christian life, which, as we practice them, will form in us the character of Jesus by establishing us in the way of faith, hope, and love. Amen.